Hey ladies, I hope you're having an awesome day. I really think you're going to enjoy today's guest. She has had a roller coaster of a life, and I love how open and honest she is with sharing her story. I think that no matter where we are on our journey, we can relate to different seasons of life and really see how she's overcome all the things that she's been through and why she's in service today. And that's the beauty of healing in this journey, is turning around and serving others. So let me tell you a little bit about Samantha. She is a single mom in the Over 40 Club. She practices functional diagnostic nutrition, and she's in personal training. She also DJs on the side while creating relatable, informative Instagram content. That's how we found each other on Instagram. She has a really good page on Instagram, See Fit Living. She'll tell you all about that. She owns two businesses and has been on her own boss for over 20 years. See Fit Living is where she coaches people back to optimal health. When they just can't quite put their finger on what's wrong with their body, she uses social media to help educate people in a fun and engaging way through her own personal journey of divorce, prison, hormone imbalance, infertility, and drug addiction. See, I told you it was a roller coaster. She shares her story of life trauma and how she turned it into a beautiful life with her son and sobriety. So enjoy this episode, and as she shares her story, and see what kind of nuggets you can pull out to kind of serve yourself, or just some awareness of, is there things going on with your body that you're not really paying attention to that might not be needed to be your new normal? Maybe there's some red flags that you can begin to address. And she talks a little bit about where that could come from, whether it's antibiotics in childhood, it could be medications we've been on, trauma related. So much of our health is related to our emotional health and just throughout our lives, and not really addressing it. And it tends to show up later in life. So I really enjoyed this episode. I learned a lot and had a lot confirmed that I'd already been researching on my own. So enjoy. And I look forward to hearing from you. Email me at michelle@setfreesisterhood.com and let me know what your takeaways were, and let me know how I can support you on your journey. Enjoy the episode. Hey sister, are you newly alcohol free, but you've been hanging on for dear life, hoping you don't fall backward? Or maybe you're still stuck in the cycle of overdrinking, even when you told yourself you would stop, waking up each day with thoughts of self-loathing? Is your anxiety through the roof so much that you wake up at 3 a.m. with your heart racing and negative thoughts about yourself? You hide it so well, not many people know. Girl, I get you and I see you. I'm Michelle Porterfield, and for so many years I experienced all of this. Here's the deal, quitting drinking is just the first step. I believe that's why it can be so scary. We know deep down it's more. Once we see what's underneath all the covering up, true freedom is found, and I'm here to help you do just that. So whether you're newly alcohol free or just sober curious, there is freedom on the other side. I can't wait to help you ditch the wine witch, or help you find your mindset breakthrough and reignite your purpose after alcohol. Girlfriend, you are in the right place. Welcome to Set Free Sisterhood. Hey ladies, I have an amazing guest today, Samantha Lander, and we're going to talk about all things related to sobriety and health and gut health and potentially menopause and all the things related to us in our season of life. So welcome, Samantha. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome. So let's just dive into who you are and tell me a little bit about your story and your journey to how you help women today.
Okay. I am Samantha Lander. I am a functional diagnostic nutritionist, and I'm a personal trainer. So that's sort of my, you know, main title for getting into the health and wellness industry. I've been in the industry for over 20 years, working with majority women, a lot of young girls in the beginning, but now it's, you know, women 35 and up for sure, and then in the 40s. But as far as my story with sobriety and addiction and alcoholism and all the things, it's a long one, but I'm going to touch base on like what I think qualifies me as being, you know, an alcoholic or an addict, and then talk a little bit more about like what happened as I got older, as far as I had a relapse. So for me, I was in seventh grade the first day that I drank. I got arrested in eighth grade for smoking pot on a school field trip. I have overdosed. I've had a full SWAT raid at my house. I have taken multiple people to the hospital due to my, you know, due to the partying. I'm just trying to get some tidbits. Sure. I did a lot of self-medicating throughout my journey. I was instantly a blackout drinker from the get-go. You know, I never really felt like I fit in. You know, I was friends with people all over the board, and I never felt like I fit in. And that's a common story that you'll hear about people who are alcoholics or addicts, is you have that drink and then you kind of feel like you fit in. And I don't know that it almost makes me more of an introvert when I do drugs or drink, but I think it kind of numbed the pain of not being able to identify who my true friends are, because I struggled with friendships, especially with women. That was a really, really hard thing for me, is, you know, connecting with women. And now I work with all women. So it's funny. And, you know, I ended up, you know, I the first time I used my drug of choice ended up being meth. And that was junior year of college at University of Michigan. So I was, I went to a really good school. I had a partial scholarship for rowing. I was the number one varsity rower in high school and the varsity eight for junior and senior year. I was a state swimmer. I was always able to manage a lot and to party a lot. Maybe that's what like was my thing, and I thrived off that. But I definitely was a very successful, coupled with very unsuccessful behavior, right, or very successful at being, you know, can we cut? I don't want to cut. Being messed up, but then very, you know, there was always never like a real balance. And so, or I give everything, you know, 170% if I'm going to do it. And, you know, so I used meth for the first time junior year of college, and it was like self-medicating for ADHD. 100%. So right there, it like leveled me out. I felt normal. I was able to read books. I was able to do my schoolwork. It was kind of a glamour drug, you know, out in LA. And that's where I tried it for the first time when I went to visit a friend. And when I went to LA, I kind of found my cocktail that worked for me. So that's when I started dabbling into all the club drugs and all that good stuff. And, but the meth just, it normalized me, is kind of how I could say. And I felt like everything just went to like an even keel, where life was simple and things weren't so hard, like studying in school. I was able to, you know, take classes that worked for me. I'm very organized. I think that was a key to me and being successful in school and life. Then I went out to LA. My job that I was supposed to do out there fell through. I bought two turntables and decided to become a DJ. So I did that. I was really good at it, but I was also selling drugs. And that's where like the SWAT raid, and I ended up doing some prison time and LA County time. But right before I went to prison, I checked myself into rehab in April 2006. And that was like the pink cloud that people talk about in sobriety. I've never been happier. Obviously I went to federal prison and was happy. It didn't matter where I was. I was so spiritually bankrupt and so lost. And I finally had hit like my rock bottom. And I know like during my using, it was sort of, eventually I'll get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I just needed to not die. That's kind of what I was at. You know, it was survival, 100%, abusive relationship, everything that I never would have thought I would have in my life was happening. And I did go to rehab. And after that, you know, I didn't use for 13 years. I went to prison. I got out. I became a personal trainer. Was making six figures within my second year. Super, super successful. Training, you know, all these amazing women, men, a lot of young girls, which gave me an opportunity to become like a really good, solid mentor for them. And I think that's where my service work started to play a really big role. Mm-hmm. I'm a big believer in service work. If I'm not doing that, there's certain pillars in my life that I know if I'm not doing them, I'm going to fall short somewhere else, like dramatically. And service work is a really big one. And, you know, not doing well with my job. And then, you know, my mom, my health, you know, movement, working out, stress reduction are kind of like my things I have to work on. And, you know, I was able to sort of be of service there. And then I went to meetings, and that's about all I did. And I did that for 13 years, and I stayed sober. And I got in a marriage. I started to go through fertility treatment, which I'm sure a lot of you guys know about. I forgot this part is like, as far as like my, why I became a functional diagnostic nutritionist, I was really, really sick as a kid. But it was never diagnosed. I just was like band-aided with medicine. Like I had chronic stomach aches, chronic fatigue, like just kind of that underlying sick, bloated, you know, constipation, diarrhea, all that stuff. And it all came back big time when I got out of prison and I was a trainer. I was doing all the right things, eating right, working out, calorie counting, you know, work out more, eat less. And then I felt awful. My periods started to come every other week. I was like bleeding. I ended up having like liposcopic surgery for endometriosis. I was going to endocrinologist. I mean, everyone, and they were just trying to give me like antidepressants, birth control, you know, take this, take that. And like, this is not what I need. And I met a practitioner that said, you should run a food sensitivity test. And I did that, and it changed my life. And so that started to, I started, I then I got certified and started to get into that whole world of specialty lab testing and functional medicine. And I coupled that with my training because I saw that women were not reaching their goals and they were doing so-called the right things, you know, calorie counting, eating less, and working out more. And they weren't feeling good, just how I was. I mean, I was putting on weight. I mean, I had chronic diarrhea. And so that is kind of where it goes. You know, I struggled with having a baby. And this is the part that I feel like would resonate with a lot of your listeners is the obsessive compulsive process of sometimes having a kid. And then, you know, you have a kid, and then what do? You know, I had postpartum. I did not know how to be a mom. Like I felt like I got the rug pulled out on from under me. If any of your listeners are big, like they love working, type A, very successful, super entrepreneur, like that, I didn't work for 2 months. You might as well like locked me in a box with like a wild animal with my kid. I didn't know what I was doing. And you know, and then my marriage was quickly fell apart. I was cheated on, and he had 23 years sober, and that's his journey. You know, I'm not gonna judge him for that, but he or at all. But he started drinking when I was pregnant. And so it was fueling my addiction right there. Like I was ready. And I had my kid, and all I needed was like a lot of trauma thrown in my face. And I just started using it to cope. And it was strictly survival. It was not fun. It was the only way that I could get like through my day by like 4 o'clock, as all us moms do, like a lot of us. It's like, I need a glass of wine. I need this. And I kind of fell into that whole mommy wine culture. So I relapsed. And it was okay for a while. You know, I didn't know what I was doing. And I think I definitely had some undiagnosed postpartum, and it was fine for a while. And then I quickly realized that it was not serving me, and it was becoming a problem, and it was becoming unmanageable. And I quit drinking, and then COVID hit,
Oh,
which is
God.
what which is what everybody said. Like we're drinking it. Like I was good for a while during COVID, and then like it's like the neighbors. You're like, so I'm an extrovert on steroids. So the neighbors are out drinking at like 2 in the afternoon, and like I'm like, you know, a month in with just me and my kid because my ex, like I had to keep him from my ex, and it was just like I just snapped one day and off to the races, and it, you know, it just was so accepted. You know, everybody around me knew I was in recovery, but alcohol was okay. You know, it's crazy. And I knew because, you know, I can manipulate to get what I want as an addict. That's what we do a lot of times. And I knew that that's what I could get away with, you know, and it was numbing all the pain of my divorce and that my ex cheating on me. And then I'd been in AA before and NA. And so I have a lot of like program, like in my head, a lot of stuff. So it wasn't fun. And you know, at about 3 and a half, my kid started to be very, very, very challenging. Come to find out, we found out he had ODD. I don't know if you've heard of that. Oppositional defiant disorder. It's a tough one. So we
Yes.
found out about a year ago, or a little less, that that's what's going on. And I mean, it's hard. Like, I thought something was wrong with him, you know, and it's a genetic thing. It's crazy. So I suggest you guys look that up. If you have a very challenging child and you cannot understand why they like say it's like so irrational what he'll say to me, like his arguments, his blaming, it's just like insanity. Yeah, some moms might relate. And so, or go get tested. So it got bad. It got where I just couldn't stop. I literally couldn't stop. Like every day at 4 o'clock, I don't know if I was having DTs or what, but I could not stop drinking. And that's when I realized, like before it was always drugs with me, but that's when I realized like the power of alcohol. Like it was a pretty powerful thing for me to not be able to just stop something that I knew that was destroying my life, destroying everything in my life. I had gotten in a relationship with a guy. He left me for that. And that was my final thing, is losing a human being. That never happened. So in all my addiction and all my, you know, crap that I went through, I've never lost a human being. My parents have always been there for me. My friends never, like, you know, left me, except for the toxic ones. And so I, you know, I had to lose a human to get it. It's kind of,
Wow.
let's see. And I think my higher power, 110%, worked through him to get me sober because I wasn't getting it.
Yeah.
And the day before I met him, I prayed for a guy who's 6 feet tall, covered in tattoos, had a kid, and was like sober. And that's what I got. And literally to the T. And I just was able to be vulnerable for the first time. Like I fell hard for this guy and then had him ripped away. And that's how I did it. And I knew, like, it's either going to be him or my kid. Like, something dramatic has to happen for me to get this because that's how I work. Like, you know, I didn't get it before. I had a SWAT weight. I went to prison. I like how many things have to happen for me to understand things? I've OD'd and I still didn't get it. And so this was it. And I got it. And I've been sober since that. And so now I do service work for women who are, you know, trying to reintegrate from prison into sober living homes. I work with a nonprofit doing that. I go into jails. I got approved to chair meetings there. I pretty much will do anything that anyone needs. I chair meetings. If there's any form of service work that I can be of service, I can do it, I will do it. I had a bat mitzvah. I felt like religion was an important part that I was missing in my life, because I saw the power of religion in prison. And I wanted my kid to have that foundation. He can do whatever he wants when he's older, but I think the power of religion is a really powerful thing. I've seen it. I saw it. It's crazy. I saw it firsthand. Like, I saw people go through the most horrific things you've ever seen in prison, and they would read their Bible and be okay, or they would go to a sweat lodge and they'd be okay. Like, it's crazy. Yeah.
Well,
So
let's pause for a
yeah,
second.
okay. I told you, just cut me off anytime.
No, it's great. It's great. I love it because that gives everyone a really good picture and journey of where you are. And I just want to definitely note part of any sort of healing, I believe, is when we're able to turn and give in service for
Yeah.
sure.
Oh, yeah.
And it is very powerful in any program or any conversation around that. That is part of the process. Like you can't just check a box and then go back to your normal routine. Like, how are you going to share what you've learned and how can you help others do the same? So I love that.
Yeah, and it makes you feel good and it gets you outside yourself. We're a selfish society, you know.
That is huge, is getting outside. Because I know just hearing several things throughout your story, I think back when I first drank alcohol was in, I think I was probably 13-ish or something. And, you know, my first taste was gross, because I who knows what it was, Boone's Farm or something. But then the first time I actually drank something and got drunk, there was this sense of like, oh, I don't have all this negative head talk. I can I can not have to worry about, you know, who I am. And I just, it felt like I fit in. And so I think a lot of us can experience that. And even now, talking to the audience now, is there's still some of that going on. This whole, you know, I ended up going to a book club and it turned into a wine club. Or women talk to me all the time about, well, how do I have fun, or how do I manage anxiety, or how do I continue to hang with my friends when they're inside of this drinking culture? And there may be two or three that literally drink once a month and it's not a big deal. And there may be some others too that have sort of that secret struggle. So I'm sure you've seen that as well in your journey. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You had 13 years, you learned a lot, which I think is key to what you're doing now, for sure. Learning about your gut and learning about how we have been conditioned to eat less, exercise more. But that's just kind of been blown out of the water, that's not really what works, especially as we're getting older and our bodies need something different. So how have you taken that and then taken this sort of where you relapse, but then have created this new version of you? Now what? How do you stay grounded? How do you, obviously you said you serve, you have your non-negotiables. How do you go from where you are to staying consistent and serving others, but then also making sure you're truly taking care of yourself?
So one thing I've never lacked, I have to say, through all of this is, even, you know, when I relapsed, but I've always consistently since the day, I mean, even in prison, like I've not slacked on one thing as far as movement, working out, lifting weights, any of that. Like I always do it. Like I would get up and ride the bike drunk or go to yoga if I had to, you know. I'm just super consistent. It's just so habitual for me. And I think that's something people need to know, is like, eventually it does get easier. Like, and you got to find what works for you. You know, yoga might not be your thing, then find something else, you know, and you don't have to do hours of cardio. And so I do listen to my body. Like I don't overtrain. I definitely practice self-care well. I make sure like I'm always on a good supplement protocol. I run my labs on myself too. I'm always making sure I eat as clean as I can. Obviously, I try to be a realistic person when I work with clients, that like, I know not all of us are like, I don't expect you to be perfect all the time. My goal is to get it where, like, you know, let's say right now your stomach is so messed up that like you cannot eat a thing and you feel like crap all the time. You're always bloated and you never go to the bathroom. But my goal is to get you to the point where, like, if you have a cheat meal, you're okay.
Mm-hmm.
Not that that's something you should be eating Chinese food every day, but like, you know, I want people to be able to live their life and enjoy, you know, some of those things. And I know food is a big reward system for people, you know, and changing your behaviors around that. And then I do a lot of therapy. So I think a big, big part of my relapse, obviously, is not working on trauma from my childhood and my past. Mm-hmm. I've done a lot of work my entire life, but I don't think, like, and a lot of it was up to like prison, but I never really processed prison. And, you know, and I don't do well in relationships, like with guys, and it stems from my childhood. So 2023, I was like, okay, I'm not doing this anymore. Like, I'm going to relapse if I don't figure out why I relapsed. Right. And yeah. So that was my year of like the mental and emotional. So I tell my clients, it's, you know, diet, rest, exercise, stress reduction, supplementation, and then you have to work on like the mental and emotional.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I have been alcohol free for over 5 years now. And a huge part of my journey was just this consistent diving deeper, working with a coach and really just uncovering why I was continuing to cope. As a very disciplined person myself, you know, get up, you know, very high achieving at work and consistent with workouts.
Yep.
And then so much of it was what was going on underneath the surface. So that is absolutely powerful. And I believe that is what's missing from a lot of programs or paths to sobriety or being alcohol free or whatever we want to language it. It's the, yes, there's some tangible steps we need to take. Yes, we need to serve, but there's a core root to most of all of our behaviors. And it's really taken the time to uproot those and heal.
Yeah, I think there's a big difference. It's basically, I say you're sober and then you're in recovery.
Yeah.
So however that looks. So you can be sober, but like you're still toxic everywhere else. Like that doesn't matter. Just right. Taking alcohol away doesn't mean you're well and you're living by life's terms or your moral compass is fixed by any means. Like you mm-hmm. have to do the work in all areas of your life to really be in recovery, in my opinion, you know. And I think you touch base on the anxiety. Like a lot of women drink to cope with the anxiety. So something I would say is, especially a lot of women get those like panic attacks at night. So when you drink, it feels good in the moment, right? And then you drink and you're going to get a cortisol response. So your body's going to think that you're in fight or flight mode. So you're going to release your stress hormone, create a stress response in the body, and then create more anxiety. So it actually is going to make your anxiety way, 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 way worse. Which, and it's funny because I knew this, but I was still drinking, you know. Yep. It's funny. And I was like, wait, I had panic attacks to the point where I was about to put myself on medication. Like, I was like, I need Wellbutrin. I need like, and that's not even what I do. Cause I just couldn't like, I guess I didn't have enough of like the hard, like chemistry facts and the biological processes to like, really like solidify that anxiety was coming from that. I'd be like, yeah. Oh, it's my hormones. Well, my hormones are a total mess because I have PCOS and I'm drinking and my blood sugar is a mess.
Yeah.
You know? Like, yeah, the mind.
Yes. It's so crazy. I did the same thing too. There was even a time where I was having the consistent panic attacks as well. And I remember one day my heart got on just a high beats per minute and it wouldn't come down. And so it really scared me. So I actually went to the doctor and their conversation was, oh, well, you probably need benzos then. Well, then I dug a little deeper and there's a lot of danger in putting that and alcohol together.
Oh, yeah.
'Cause it, you know, people have gone to sleep and not woken up before. So that was a really reflection too of an internal reflection of me not being fully honest with myself yet and okay. being able to be willing to say, no, this is definitely on me. I don't want anything. So there was just enough awareness to go, Michelle, come on, you cannot be taking some medication. You know what the problem is. Yeah. So sometimes it takes us those really hard, uncomfortable moments to begin to make change for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody's path is different and everybody's, mm-hmm. you know, bottom or, you know, they say there's like the high bottoms and the low bottoms, yep. you know, you could be, that's the thing. It's like, you might be this like super mom getting your kids to every single practice. I hear this a lot, you know, and doing all the right things. You have your job, you're super, nobody would ever expect it. And everyone thinks you have your shit together. So you don't ever, you know, it's that ego and the humility that you're not ready to like yep. that ego and the lack of humility will keep you in a very sick place. And it's because that's what you identify with because people have labeled you that way. And they've labeled you for long enough to know that, oh my God, you're a powerhouse. You're a boss babe. You're this, which is great. I think it's great that people are saying that about women, but then it's like, what's under there? Like what's really yeah. going on? And that's usually a broken woman who doesn't feel good or stomach's messed up, struggling with weight, you know,
mm-hmm.
body image, you know, the drinking, you know, they might be sipping that seltzer on the way to soccer practice, which is what you hear a lot, you know, yeah.
just to manage. Yep.
Yeah.
So
that might be your bottom. Your bottom doesn't have to be home. I thought my bottom had to be homeless, living out of a car in Skid Row shooting. Up. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not a drug addict. I was a drug addict for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's shift into really getting specific with your knowledge and expertise around hormones and gut, because like I said before, most of my listeners are shifting into this place or either after kids, but even leaning into where I'm at, perimenopause, menopause. So you talked about earlier with, you know, just chronic stomach issues and bloating and being tired. So how really should we feel at this stage of life? Because I think so many women have gotten conditioned to how they feel. They don't really realize that there is so much more for them. I know alcohol was huge for me, but it even got better the more I dialed in my nutrition and my movement. So how should we feel, and where would someone start if they want to make some changes?
So I hit 40. My sex drive is on fire. Okay. It should be amazing. You shouldn't have lack of libido. You shouldn't have all the brain fog. You shouldn't be exhausted every afternoon around 3 o'clock. It shouldn't be impossible to get up. You should be able to go to the bathroom every day. You know, PMS should just be maybe a little bit, but not 3 weeks out of the month. Or if you're going through perimenopause or menopause, you should not be having hot flashes and night sweats and anxiety and putting on 10 pounds. Like, that doesn't have to happen. It's what we've been told is normal. Yep. And then it's hard to do the work and the self-care because it takes time and an investment. So we choose to tell ourselves, well, you know, this is just menopause. It's fine. This is the way it's going to be, or this is how it's going to be. Or we just like work out more and eat less. that's the other solution. Just work out more, yeah. You know, and that just crashes the whole hormonal system and adrenals even more. So we should be feel good. You know, we should sleep well and all those things. And so I always say, for me, I kind of take it in stages. And the first thing I always work on is food. So food and nutrition is the foundation. And if you're not eating whole foods, just start with whole clean foods. Read the label. If you can't pronounce it, don't eat it. You know, another amazing tip is eat breakfast, ladies. Have it be your biggest meal in the morning and then have your smallest meal at night. It would be my biggest, like my number one. Like, I don't push like weight loss and diets. And like, I don't believe in any of that because it sets you up for failure. I'm really into like realistic eating for the long term. So biggest meal in the morning, a carb, a fat, and a protein. Don't eat your carbs alone. And then in the afternoon, just have vegetables and protein like after lunch. So pull the carb out. That's my secret weight loss tip for a lot of my clients. If that stuff doesn't work and you're not feeling better and losing weight and sleeping better and going to the bathroom better from cleaning that up, then you need to look into, I would say, look into doing some adrenal and hormone testing. That's kind of like my next phase.
Yeah.
All the hormones. And then we get you on a supplement protocol that is completely individualized and tailored for you. Like, a lot of us are just like, oh, I saw on Instagram this girl, and I'm all over Instagram, I know, but I saw on Instagram this sort of girl said to take, you know, ayahuasca. It's like, you know, and so they're doing it because they think they might like be less bloated, but it's like, that's what worked for them, or they're getting paid to say that.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have to do I think the lab testing is super important with really good labs. Like, I double blind all my labs. I try to make sure they're really accurate, but doing that lab testing is key, because then you know exactly what supplements to give someone, and then you kind of tinker with it. You know, you get them on the protocol, and then, you know, then you start doing a little bit of dance to try to play with like the hormones, if you do bioidentical and stuff like that, to see what works for them. You know, we're all so different, and no, your protocol would not be the same as anyone else. You know, you might have two parasites and they might have candida, you know, so the next thing would be the gut. And that is honestly, unless you've had like mold exposure or heavy metal, or you have some, obviously some autoimmune conditions are very different the way you handle that. But even my clients with all of that, 99.99999% have an underlying gut infection. And your gut is like your second brain. Like, your gut is going to send signals to your brain to tell you whether you're hungry or not hungry. It's like there's a whole vagus nerve that runs from your brain down. And if that is not firing and triggering, like, these two worked. I almost think that your gut's your first brain. You know, like, what if your kid, if something happens to your kid and it's just like horrible, what do? You're sick to your stomach, right?
Yep.
I mean, it's not hard to like kind of understand it. It's just, that's where you like store emotions. People get stomach aches when they have anxiety. I mean, think about going back to like, even when you played sports when you were little. Like, I remember when I was a rower, every time right before I had a race, I'd have to run to the bathroom, you know?
Yep, the nerves.
Yep, the nerves.
Mm-hmm.
The pooping nerves.
That's right.
Yeah, that's kind of where I would start. But you
Okay.
know, obviously it's an investment. I mean, I've spent over, we added it up actually like a month ago, my business manager and I, it was like over $87,000 on my health. And it's a dance. Unfortunately, us women have a dance. Like I'm about to rerun all my labs because, you know, everything's flaring up for me. I'm 43 and you know, I had ovarian cysts, which I haven't had in a while, and more bloating and like breast tenderness. I'm like, okay, here we go.
Let's check it out. Yeah. Well, I love how you shared, and I totally agree. We are also unique in how our, whether it's the good bacteria, the bad bacteria, the just our hormonal makeup, the chemicals and how they release in our brain. There's no way that you could go. I always use Pinterest as an example. Same thing with doing any changes in your life. You can't just go to Pinterest and find a checklist and that recipe is going to work for you. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah, I do food sensitivity testing on all my clients. So
Yeah.
we know we pull out every inflammatory food. The elimination diet's impossible. I mean, I'm really in tune with my body and I can't do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I play that guessing game. I'm like, why am I doing it? It's like I don't even want to try to play that game. I just run a lab.
Yeah, and why would you really want to? Because it's taken a lot more of the energy to try to guess. And then we all know we're wired for quick results. We're conditioned for quick results. So, you know, if you're not seeing anything in a couple of days, you may make a change when you have labs or you have something right in front of you that says, oh, yeah, this particular food, and have someone to help you and guide you to say, hey, let's.
Yeah, and some of this can stem from childhood, like over
Yeah.
antibiotic use from having strep throat all the time.
Yeah, for sure.
It can go from, you know, being birth, I'm put on birth control really, really young because you had acne or you went on Accutane. It could be, you know, ear tubes when you were born. It could be, you know, poor diet growing up or trauma in the home, being a C-section baby. I mean, there's a lot of things that will impact your health. And so when I do my discovery call, we start from like when your mom's carrying you. And then we go up to what's going on now. So we talk about all of it, including,
Wow.
yeah.
I love that. Before we get to where they can find you, because I know they're going to want to do a discovery call with you, what are your top supplement sort of across the board go to for those of us who, I mean, I know that even if I ate completely whole foods, and I just as a testimony, I will say that's been an experience for me removing processed things. I'm 49. I've been perimenopause for like 3 years now. I don't have hot flashes. I don't have night sweats. You know, so I'm already noticing where I'm sort of like beating the system, you know, because I've heard this is coming. I'm like, wait a minute. And so I'm very much in tuned with even getting better and better. So, what are some things that we know that it's really hard to get with today's food that you would say that we need?
Everything.
Yeah.
So and I can give you a link to my online store and I can give you a discount code for everyone who's listening if you want
Yeah.
for the ones. I'm happy to do that. So I think that a good multi is important. So if you were gonna order it from my store, there's one called the Twice Daily Multi. You know, I think Stellar C is a high dose of vitamin C, which is really, really safe and great for your adrenal glands. It helps repair adrenal glands. Most of ours are pretty tanked. Some sort of liver support or detoxification is really important. A lot of us, like our liver, our kidneys, and our gallbladder, do not function very well. And I always say titrate things in, take one at a time, see how you feel. And so there's one like LV-G that's really good. And if you've had your gallbladder taken out, it has ox bile in it, which is great, which will help you digest fats better. There's called, I mean, that's the one I use most often and is really safe. Fish oil is great. The high potency omega fish oil there is great.
Yeah.
A lot of people really like that. These
Yeah.
are kind of basics. And then like a good probiotic is
Cool.
important. Make sure it doesn't say FOS. Is it just I'm not even pronouncing it because I will butcher it, but it's FOS and it'll be written that way on that probiotic because that one will probably tear your gut apart. And if you start a probiotic, there's a lot of really bad ones. So don't go to Walgreens, don't go to Costco, anything like that. I like Orthomolecular. That won't be on that online store, but Orthomolecular support biotic is a pretty good one. And there's a couple others on Designs for Health is pretty clean. I trust their probiotics. I would probably stay away from prebiotics. I know people love that. But just you gotta kind of figure out what's going on in your gut first. But those are some good foundational
supplements,
I would say.
Awesome. Well, great. I've enjoyed this conversation. I know it's going to help and encourage my women. So I know they're going to want to find you and maybe book a discovery call, and I'll put it in the show notes as well, but tell them where they can go.
So I am all over Instagram. It's kind of like my hub these days is, and my handle is CFIT Living, but it's SEEFIT and then living. So not the letter. And then my website is CFITPT.com, but it drastically needs updating. And then on Facebook, it's CFIT.
Cool.
So, but yeah, Instagram, I'm all over that. I'm doing a big sober giveaway February 1st. I think this will probably come out after that. So never mind.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Yeah. I love your Instagram. It's amazing. So thank you for being here and sharing with us today. I appreciate you.
No, thank you for having me. Thanks. I love helping women.
Hey friend, before you go, I want to make sure that you know about the free masterclass that is available for you. It's the 5 steps to help you stop overdrinking without stress and overwhelm. Download it for free today at setfreesisterhood.com/masterclass. I would love for you to come join the Facebook community too. I will put the link in the show notes. And if you're ready to see what support would look like so that you could start walking out your future of being alcohol free and stepping into the woman who God is calling you to be, email me at michelle@setfreesisterhood.com. Until next time, stay blessed.